Elvin Jones is really the star of this show. He's on drums, but we started off with his brother, Thad, on trumpet, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Abdullah Ibrahim on piano, Don Moore on bass, and George Abend on percussion. This is the title track on Elvin Jones's 1966 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. Now, we are awaiting what most of us believe will be the inevitable acquittal of Donald Trump. And get this, as we've been talking about it, after the vote on whether to acquit or convict President Trump will come another vote about whether witness testimony ought to be allowed. It is the most bizarre thing I have ever seen in the course of a trial, but hey, if it's supposed to happen, it will happen in this trial, considering who the defendant is. Well, we have some updates. We have Lamar Alexander taking a position. Everybody was poised, you know, on pins and needles to figure out, what Lamar Alexander was going to do. And he has decided that he is not in favor of witnesses being called. He says that he is convinced, nonetheless, this is a classic one foot in one camp and one foot in another camp. He says he believes that Donald Trump, excuse me, did some wrong things and illegal things. No question about it, he says. But these so-called crimes did not rise to the level, the high level of what is expected in a trial of this kind. So, yes, he's siding with the Democrats on that score, that he believes that Donald Trump did do these things of which he is accused, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. But are these real crimes? He's deferring to that silly argument made by Trump's lawyers that was this a crime? Were these crimes as defined by the Constitution? Should they be considered in the order of high crimes and misdemeanors? Lamar Alexander says he didn't think so. But Mitt Romney now didn't say whether he is pro or con acquittal. He instead says that there ought to be witness testimony. So it's all over the place, and we'll have to figure that out. But in any event, it's Free Your Mind Friday. Let's hear from you about what you think is important to talk about. You take the conversation where you want it to go at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So this trial, mercifully, ought to come to an end very soon. For most people, not soon enough. But life goes on. What are you thinking about anything that you think is important to talk about? This is your forum, and you can raise issues as you see fit. And we listen to what you have to say in terms of when you offer an opinion, we ought to be clear that you have an opinion about something. I don't want you to just talk and, you know, kind of go on a scenic tour, I would like you to have a discernible opinion. Gamba from Florida, we're starting off with you today. Hello?
Yes, this is Gamba.
Yes, I'm hoping that you can...
Greetings.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. I'm driving. Maybe that's why I'm breaking up. So I'll make it quick. The term attorney or to attorn means to twist. So we're dealing with twisters. They're twisting the law to suit their client. And as such, we who are partaking in the listening of this twisting tournament are just... We're just participants in something that wouldn't produce anything, right? As one person told me, we're dealing with mental masturbation. It feels good but produces nothing. So I rest and allow others to talk. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. 888-874-4888. Well, we are hopefully going to see an end to this, and then will come another wave of analysis after the decision is made one way or the other. But I already shared with you that I thought this was a travesty in the worst kind of way. You feel personally affronted because the whole nation is at the service of a process that just on its face is just so left field, completely out of the field even. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, incredibly wonderful, Utrice.
Hey, Harvey, incredibly wonderful Harvey. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, today I'd like to talk about reparations in relation to America's war on drugs and specifically the war on cannabis. And during a press conference given on June 18th, 1971, President Richard Nixon declared drug abuse to be public enemy number one. And in the first term of President Ronald Reagan, he signed the Comprehensive Crime Control Act of 1984, which expanded penalties towards possession of cannabis, including a federal system of mandatory minimum sentences. And in recent years, cannabis has gone from being called the evil weed to medical marijuana, and states like California now look at the sale of cannabis and its byproducts like CBD oil as a new source of tax revenue. Cannabis has become a big business in America, worth more than an estimated $10 billion and growing. And we now know that these draconian cannabis laws were absolutely racist in nature. How many people, especially underprivileged Americans of African descent, as well as other financially struggling minorities and ethnic groups like Hispanics and Latinos, were made to needlessly suffer by being arrested and incarcerated for marijuana possession? How many people lost their jobs because of their proximity and use of cannabis? How many people became felons and lost their right to vote? How many families were destroyed? How many children went without parental love and care, adequate nutrition, and a chance at a decent education because their parents were victims of the stop-and-search laws aimed at those who lived in poor communities? So the question is, who profited from these racist policies? The incarceration industry, and specifically the prisons for profit, made billions of dollars from the war on cannabis. They didn't want violent, disruptive individuals. They wanted relatively peaceful cannabis users who would do what they were told to do. These low on the economic ladder men and women of color became corporate slaves, America's answer to third world labor, whose agonizing toil was sold to some of America's biggest, most successful companies for pennies on the dollar. So now that the war on cannabis is winding down, it's time to right the wrongs by compensating these deliberately disadvantaged and harmed individuals and their communities for the unjust punishment, as well as becoming victims of corporate slavery. And in the Treaty of Versailles, signed in 1919, it required Germany to pay 132 billion gold marks, which translates into $33 billion, in reparations to cover civilian damage caused during World War I. The money for the war on cannabis reparations could come from a special federal and state tax on all cannabis-related products, as well as from the profits acquired by the prisons for profit, who more than benefited from these destructive and evil laws. And I would like to see the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, as well as other minority-based organizations, work to correct this unjust travesty against America and its people.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much for that contribution. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hi. What's on your mind today?
I'm just going to follow up on what you were saying. I want to say first, I am very disappointed that that things happened the way they were predicted to happen. However, I really did think that they might be able to get at least one witness in there. I think when I hear the Republicans say that this is a crime, but it's not a high enough crime, well, it's just preposterous to hear who it's coming from when they thought that a sex act that was lied about was the highest crime in the nation when Bill Clinton was tried for impeachment. I'm not a fan of Bill Clinton, but I absolutely could not believe that they were willing to spend, you know, millions of dollars on courtroom costs because he lied about a sex act. And I think content matters when we're talking about this kind of trial. I'm pretty sure that the only person who was probably upset about him having sex with another woman was his wife. But to take that to court and to try that in a serious way, costing serious dollars, and then have the very same people come back now and say that this does not meet the threshold of high crimes is the height of hypocrisy and the ludicrousness of who these people are. What I'm afraid of, and I really do believe this is going to happen, I believe that we've now made it almost impossible to impeach anybody, because I do believe that these are crimes, and I believe that if this doesn't warrant a crime, then there is nothing that does. Now, for everybody who thinks it's okay to just get this thing over with and we don't need to hear it anymore, it's boring, da 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 da. Okay, fine, we won't do that. We'll just go back to the numbness of America. But when there's no punishment here, I believe that you just embolden President Trump to go even further than he already has. I went to Wildwood, New Jersey the other day where Trump came in to Wildwood to have his rally that night with Congressman Van Drew, who was the congressman who flipped. He has been a Democrat for at least the last 20 years. I know Van Drew because my parents live down there and, you know, have met him a couple of times. And he jumped ship. It was the weirdest thing. He jumped ship so that he can support Trump, but then it's leaked that I'm jumping ship, but I'm not going to support him or vote for him. That's that Jeff Van Drew. But the rally was Trump and Van Drew together, and it was the first time I've ever been afraid to go to a rally, because there was a lot of pretty angry people that were there that were supporting Trump. There to me was I never felt afraid of like getting beat up when I went to a rally before. I never had that. And everyone that I spoke to when I said I was going to the rally warned me not to go to the rally because you could get beat up. But, you know, my parents live down there, and I feel like, you know, we shouldn't just roll over because somebody's telling you or disagrees with your point of view. But it was a weird, it was this sense of, we're going to do whatever we want to do, and it doesn't matter about laws anymore because Trump's here, and we don't have to follow the laws. We don't have to follow the rules. And I think, you know, we can sit back and criticize how this was brought about, but I honestly do think that to create an investigation, to give him a political clout in the time of running for office is pretty far out there. But what I, as I said, what I'm afraid of now is that America seems to be want very much to be in denial. And, you know, this is an interesting part of America. I mean, this is all the way in South New Jersey. It's exit zero of the Garden State Parkway. We literally, actually, this town sits on the very close to the Mason-Dixon line. So it's always been a kind of blue-collar, working-class, prejudiced area. A lot of people are prejudiced. But it was weird, the mix of people. I remember we went to see a friend of ours, two women that were residing in the hotel next door. And, you know, I guess even, I mean, I have stereotypes too. I walked in and I was really surprised because these women were into, you know, the environment, and they were into animals and into feng shui, but they were so upset they couldn't go to the Trump rally that night. And I thought, it's really weird that you believe in all these things, but you're following a candidate who just gutted the Clean Water Act, who's about to fill in all the wetlands throughout the United States, who's the pro-pollution president, but I don't know. It's this frenzy. It's watching what's going on here, of the blind following of this man, regardless of what his policies are. So I am really sad that we're not going to do anything. I think this revs up his base. I believe that it's going to do a lot to get him back in office. But I think that you know that I'm a Bernie fan, and I believe that what America really always wanted from the last election to this election is they want something that's different. They don't want a centrist Democrat. And I really believe if the Democrats continue, I mean, Bernie is surging in the polls and he's pulling in a lot of dollars, but we still can't get the Democratic committee to listen to what Democrats want. And most Democrats don't want more of the centrist, you know, middle of the road, pro corporate representation. We need real representation. We need it now. And there's a lot of emergencies going on that have to be, you know, followed up on. And I think that one of the reasons why Trump got in office was just this frustration of more of the same. You know, people knew that he wasn't going to give them more of the same. They knew he was going to turn over the tables and there was going to be chaos. But I think we could change in a different way. I don't think we have to change in a total chaos and pro. I feel that the way he runs the government is kind of this pro gangster way of doing things. I think that he hangs with gangsters. I believe that Giuliani is a gangster, and I believe that we don't really have any a legitimate government anymore. I think the Republicans are all a bunch of scaredy cats that back down to a thug, and so they didn't have the grace or eloquence to stand up against this. And so now, you know, we're doing the old go along to get along, and that short sightedness is look. Well, I want to keep my office, so I'm not going to follow the laws or the rules or anything here. I'm just going to roll over and let him do what he wants. Well, there's other times that this has happened in history. You know, I mean, I think people, many people say, let's not compare him to Hitler, but I think we should compare him to Hitler, because Hitler did not start out with death camps. He didn't start out by you know, murdering people. He started out as being elected and then pushed through from there. So we don't know where Trump's going to go. You said many times, and I agree with you, the man is mentally ill, and I really truly believe that, as I'm pretty sure you do. And you can't predict what somebody like this is going to do. And we certainly shouldn't be following somebody who is not mentally steady. And that's what I want to share today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution today. Alex from New Jersey, and by the way, the number to call is 888-874-4888. We're moving along at a clip here. Alex from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. I was just talking to my wife about this whole situation in reference to the trial. There might be a strong possibility that the Republicans, some of the senators, might vote to impeach him. And the reason why is just to protect their own hives. And the reason that I'm saying that is because, you know, they're business people. They like the power of being in the spotlight as a senator. And if they go against the people, they say, you didn't vote against Trump, and people are mad. I think this whole thing with, you know, followers of Trump, it probably only represents less than 10% of the population in this country. But the media makes it look like it's a huge amount. No, it isn't, compared to the over 357 million people in this country. So what people are, they're mad. If Trump has done good stuff, like jobs brought in, try to fix things and make things better and all, and everyone's doing better, then he would have had a chance. But technically, people are beginning to realize and say, what the hell? This guy had 2 years already. Nothing is getting better. Things are getting worse. He's a crook. He's a liar. And then I'm counting on you senators to do what's right for me. And then these senators are looking for themselves to get reelected. Now, the vibration, the energy has changed. Things are beginning to come to light. Now it's more of a cleansing process. So then these people, like I'm saying, they're looking for their own hive, and they might vote against Trump to say, look, I'm on your side, this guy is that, and that would be pretty amazing if it pans out that it goes down that road. All right?
Do you think it will?
I have a strong possibility that it might. Because, what, how many does it take? Only four of them, right?
Yeah, just four that need to go to the other side.
Well, what if seven voted against them? What if, you know, you can't go against human nature. I mean, this guy has stepped on so many toes and stuff and all, and the senators are saying, wait a minute, this guy's a joke. This guy's an ass. And he hasn't done anything. And my people that I represent are also pissed off and say, what the hell? He hasn't done anything. So they're looking to protect themselves, their own hives, their own jobs. And then they're coming up for re-election themselves and say, wait a minute. I would think as a senator, screw Trump and say, you know what? I'm going to try to protect myself, and I'm on your side. And he is a crook. And then vote against them. So now I'm the good guy because, you know, I went against everybody. And these people think that way. They're not stupid people. These senators and stuff, you know, they're you know, the higher bracket of intelligence out there in reference to our society, and they take advantage of us. So if I was a senator, Republican senator, I mean, the Democrats don't matter. Because, you know, they're just going to go, you know, they're the good guys. And these, we're talking about teams, you know, that team against that other team. So the people are mad. They're in the middle. And they're saying, wait a minute, this Joker hasn't done nothing for us. Nothing is better. He made things worse. We all know he's a thug, a monster, and he's hasn't done anything for me. So you, as elected people that represent me as Republicans, what the hell, where's your spine? You know, where's your backbone? And you're an ass as well, because you can't even stand up to this ass, this you know, thug, this liar, this shamster. And you expect me to vote for you now? I don't think so. Get the hell out of here. So I think the people are going to turn around and revoke. And then they're going to go for the people that say, I mean, imagine if you're, again, a Republican, and then you have this Joker as a president, and then your senator goes along with the president, then you're going to say, screw him. I'm going to get this Republican out of here, the senator out of here. But if that senator says, you know what, I see the writing on the wall, this is not going to get any better, which is not with Trump. Things are not going to get better, and we all have to be careful, because God knows there's something major, you know, like nuclear weapons or something that he might just throw out there. And that's what the military step in and say, wait a minute, no, that's enough. You know, this is where that you cross that line. So, but if the senators, Republican senators say, wait a minute, I'm going to go against this guy, and that's the right thing to do, because it makes those persons stronger in their people, in their eyes. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And I think it would be incredible and amazing that to show you that the energy, the vibration, you know, that it's we're in a new cycle of awakening. And that would be pretty incredible if that happens, Jeez.
I would agree with you. If it happens, it would be incredible. But so far, I don't know that.
Well, again, we don't know.
You can be assured that it will happen.
Well, again, we don't know until it's done. See, we don't know
right,
when it comes
exactly.
to that final. When it comes to that final, to make that vote, so it's down to the last, you know, last couple of seconds for that person to make that vote for him or against him as a senator. And this is what we're all treading right now, where these senators are there. This is what they're thinking about. You know, these senators are, this is the Republican senator. This is what they're thinking about. If I stay with him, am I on the Titanic? You know, or do I bail out and then become a hero?
Well, thank you for your analysis today. We're listening intently to everybody's opinion. Thank you so much, Alex, for calling in. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I could use a little cheering up. Can you give me one of Mrs. Waters' famous sayings?
What is it?
I haven't heard her in a long time. You always do a great imitation. Can you just give me one loud one?
Impeach 45.
All right.
Impeach 45.
She should be saying that now more than ever because they're really trying to do it, but it doesn't seem to be working. But I miss her saying that, though, and I always enjoyed when you did the imitation of her. Thanks for that levity that you're allowing me to have here in such a difficult time that we're all in. And yet the Trump show goes on, just like the 12-year show he had called The Apprentice. And now it's like part two of The Apprentice, where he hires and fires people just like he did on the TV show. I never really watched the show, but I watched like a five-minute encapsulation of all the shows, and pretty much just firing and hiring, much like he's doing with his administration here with the people that he hires and says they're so great. Mad Dog Mattis, this one, that one. They're all great, and then suddenly they're all not great. They're all bad. They got to be fired and replaced with somebody else. It's much like the TV show. It's amazing how they have the captivation of the sheeple. I guess that's why they call us sheeple, because we're willing to believe in anything that we're told by the daily news, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, all these people are telling us what's going on. But what's really going on is really nothing. I'm seeing a TV show every day it's on, not just once a week. It's a situation comedy. Trump gets himself into troubles, and then they have to figure out how to get him out of the trouble. Like, reminds me of a show back in the 60s, My Little Margie. The girl used to always get herself in these big binds, and her father always had to bail her out. And it was all a little funny comedy. And it's pretty much the same way, only we're terrified by it because this is supposed to be real life, and we're supposed to have a president that guides us through troubles and does a presidential job of doing these things, and we're not used to this kind of like goings-on that are happening here. But we're so like engulfed in it that we can't get out of it. Where it's every minute it's on our minds. But I really called to talk about the virus that is in China now, that is now called a global crisis. And, you know, Gary Null always talks about the vaccinations are mandatory for children now, unless you have some real excuse that you can get out of it. But and he said soon they're going to have vaccines for mandatory for everybody. And to me, this would be the perfect way to get people to line up and voluntarily want to get a vaccine, is if you release a virus into the population and it starts killing them one by one, and now it's hundreds and soon to be thousands. And then they come up with a vaccine that's a cure, and they administer it, and it cures the people. Now, who's not going to line up to get that shot voluntarily? Because who wants to die of some airborne virus? So if they came up with a vaccine that's going to cure it, and if you get it before you get the virus, then you're protected. So you're going to line up voluntarily, just like people line up voluntarily to join the service. And that's probably part of the economy of the job market. They include the people that are in the military now voluntarily joining up because they don't want to force us to go to war and kill people. As long as we're volunteering, then it's our fault. And we're going to be volunteering to get vaccinated, and that'll be our fault too. So there's no blood on their hands, and who really knows what's going on, Treese, right? What I could be saying could be false, or it could be true. You can't prove what I'm saying is wrong, and I can't prove that it's right, because I don't have any proof. So it's just my opinion, and it's something that goes through my mind, and it makes me wonder why everybody is so complacent about everything that's going on in the world, of all these people being killed, and, you know, 360 people get shot out of the air by a mistake, a missile. They thought it was a military plane. And then a few weeks later, one man dies, eight people die in the helicopter, and that's something we should pay attention to. What about the 360 people that died in that airplane that got shot down by mistake? Nobody cares about that. I don't hear anybody saying anything about that. Anyway, I said a lot of things, and I hope I didn't bore anybody, and I'm pretty much out of breath now. And
so you need a little rest. But
peace
thank you so much for
calling
in.
We have the weekend now to get a little break from the Trump show. And then we'll be back at
thank
it.
Thank you for it. Start we can hear it. Thanks again for calling in, E from Edgewater. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good noon, Nutrice. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is a sad time in the country when you could talk about having a trial and you can't have no witnesses. When you have people who have been elected into office that are just so one-sided in their pursuit of supposed justice that they can't even expose a criminal for what the criminal is when Alexander even calls him a criminal. You know, it's just utter madness. It's frightening to think how this country with this individual in office is heading for nothing more than a crash landing. Because once he becomes, as they say, acquitted, it's no telling what he may do. Always remember that this incident happened the day after he was supposedly cleared in the Mueller investigation. That's when he did this so-called dastardly deed, which basically everyone knows it's what he did. So now, what will he do tomorrow? What will he do the day after? Because he just feels as though he can do whatever he wants to do and get away with. And the tragedy is that so-called great Americans like Alan Dershowitz would set it up and dupe and fool the public into thinking that what he did wasn't a crime. They're the real criminals. The Alexander, the Moskowitz, the Dershowitz, and the rest of them, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, they're all criminals because they have allowed for this country to go into an abyss of madness that it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. This thing is heading for things that we don't even imagine is going to happen. And the tragedy is people, children, are going to suffer for this. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to be honest about it. You know I don't have no more than another 10 years on the planet. I'm clear with that. I have no problem with it. But I would like for the 10 years that I do have to be a productive and decent 10 years, and to know when I'm gone, those loved ones that I leave here have a decent and productive future ahead for them and their families if they have children and things of that nature. But I can tell you in all honesty, I don't feel that that's going to happen. I feel that basically it's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots are going to suffer like never before. We're not going to see the type of suffrage that is in store for the have-nots. And if you look at it, you look how economically we have progressed from the 60s to today, where we are now as a country economically, to where as you have such a small percentage of people that hold all of the wealth, and then you have these other individuals on the country that are living from foot to mouth, not able to survive, not able to have shelter, not able to have the basic things that one should have. And, you know, it's supposed to get better. Your government is supposed to make things better for the people, for society. And
Jay,
it seems like this guy's not doing it.
Isn't the issue also that it's a responsibility, isn't it, for people to become excited enough about their own welfare to be involved in the process? But people seem to have taken a kind of permanent leave of absence. They're not involved. They just observing the
This may
strike.
Be the thing. This may be this what the Senate has just done may be the thing to wake enough people up to hopefully get rid of this guy so that there could just be one thing, stability. See, with him in office, there'll never be stability. So whereby, if he's out of office, the same things will go on, but it'll be done in a more stable fashion to where as you're not just getting smacked on both sides of your cheeks and then getting punched in your mouth the way that this guy is. So they're still going to do things that are not in the best interest of the country, but it's not going to be on the level that it's going to drastically change the way of lives for the American people like this guy is doing. The damage that this man is doing to this country will be fared years and years from now in a gradual fashion. So that means our lives are not going to get better the longer that he's in office. If you have somebody else come into office, yeah, there's going to be problems. And yeah, life is going to get rough. But I believe that it'll be more in a gradual pace where people could hopefully find ways to sustain themselves. With him, it's just not going to happen. And the sad thing is, it boils down to something that has always been the issue, white privilege. And the sad thing is, white privilege is not for those that are going along with it, because their lives are not getting no better. Just think about this, and I'll leave on this note. Think about the lives of the people in Kentucky, where McConnell is their senator. Over the time that he's been in office, if you be honest about it, their lives has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. But they still, because of this white privilege and this assumption that somebody of color is getting something that they're not getting, they allow for the disaster of their life to continue. It's wicked and it's evil. But hey, you know, this is what America wants. Wickedry and evil. So that a few could eat a prime steak instead of a regular choice steak. That's really what it boils down to.
Thank you, Jay, for your contribution today. Thank you so much. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey. I'm amazed
hey.
I got on.
You're on.
I'm at my wit's end here, you know, frankly, because I can't make jokes about this anymore. Although I do have an idea. I think there should be a TV show called Lying for Dollars. And I think Donald Trump should be on that show. A runaway train doesn't explain it. There was a headline in one of the major publications in England the day after George W. Bush won a second term, and I can't quote it, but I can paraphrase it. It more or less said something like, is it possible there could be 30 million stupid people in America? Well, the answer to that is yes. It's very possible because I think they're just so busy trying to make another dime so that they don't end up in the street with their family and their furniture that they haven't got time to pay attention to what's going on. And by the time they do wake up, it's going to be, you know, all over. It's going to be all over. This man could send mercenaries to attack the United States and then declare martial law and then put anyone that he wants to behind bars. I mean, we have plenty of behind bars built all over this country now that it's become a commercial commodity to arrest people and put them in jail and then pay for it at $50,000 a year per person or something like that. It's insanity. The patients are actually running the asylum. So I don't know what else to say other than I'm not a praying man, but I may become one, you know, real soon because it's just out of whack. And that's about all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much, John.
With that, you have a good day.
Thank you.
Have a good
day. You too. Thanks so much. 888-874-4888. We still have some time and some room for the expression of your very earnest thoughts. You know, I should say this before time runs out. This is not just an open forum. It is, in fact, an expression of what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be as a society. It should matter to us what others are thinking. And that's why you didn't hear me talk a lot, because it's not my turn. It's your turn. It's my turn to listen along with everybody else. We listen to what people are saying. Sometimes it's not explicit in the sense that they say what they want to say exactly the way they want to say it, but we get the gist of it. And listening today, we get, my phone just disconnected here. Listening today, we get the sense clearly that people are very agitated about what's going on. They also have a sense that the country has undergone a severe division, people who have and people who don't. They also experience a loss of input. They feel that, you know, they're on the outside looking in. without the ability to make any impact at all or any change. And this is these are sentiments that are growing across the country. At some point, soon, I hope, we will become more active in trying to fashion solutions. And that means we have to return to the very important place where it all starts, and that is where we live. We'll have to come home to start making these changes. I'm also very proud that everyone is making an effort to offer of themselves. This is not a put on, this is not a performance. They're really saying what's on their minds. And I thank you for that, because it means that you're comfortable. You feel like you're among people that you can trust, or you have a sense of community with. And that's very important. We are in very rough times, and it won't be long before we have to lean on each other in order to come through it. We have to develop a sense of community. And it starts with talking, just talking out loud in some cases, but talking and sincerely expressing what you feel. Willie from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hello.
And my PRN family. Listen. When you mentioned community, what community are you talking about? That's already been taken over in Brooklyn. We're out.
No, you talk about community in the fullest sense of the word, not just in the literal sense of the word, but in the fullest sense of the word. You can have community even if you live in different states. But forming some kind of connection where there are common ideas, there are common ways of seeing things and viewing things and coming up with solutions. That's what I mean by community.
Oh,
I don't mean a physical community necessarily, although that's important.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. I got it. You treat, you know, from my point of view, the only thing that we own, from my point of view, is your mind, particularly in this country. And that has been taken by those who the social scientists, the people that control this nation. And as far as Trump is concerned, he's only doing what he's told to do. It's not about him. He can't do anything that the powers that be allow him to do. You know, I was watching the documentary Gary did on poverty in America, and that's it's going to get worse. I mean, I couldn't believe.
Is it time, you think, for us? I mean, we're clear about the potential of things becoming worse, but I don't hear very much about what people are doing about it, what do they propose to do about it.
Well, I think one of the first things that we have to do is educate the American people, and that's already been done. We haven't helped in the process because we have, you know, PRN and the BI, and how many on a daily basis. That is my job. Even though there are people that don't want to hear, I be the people over their head to make them listen. Because once they begin
you
to understand and
see... You can't make people listen. People either are going to listen. This is the dilemma that we have. How do you move forward with a shared agenda, a shared plan that proposes to lift all boats?
Well,
we simply haven't seen it.
I believe that once people know the truth, they must react to it. And the American people in general, they're decent people. It's just that they have allowed the real gangsters to take their mind. So now they're going by what they've said. Because this charade we're watching, as a matter of fact, I just want some money on it when it's over. Because there are a lot of people that believe it's going to be it's a serious thing. I know it's a game. So I don't even pay any attention to it. It's a waste of time and an insult to my intelligence. There are people who think this thing is real. Nothing is going to happen, and I bet some people some money. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. Just put your money up. As a matter of fact, I remember you said something many, many years ago about having a detector, a crap detector. And that is what I hope to become and have, you know, in the greatest desire in my life is to be able to detect crap. And when I see it, this is why I know I'm winning some money over this thing, because people can't see this. But then again, they're not PRN listeners. They're not WBA listeners. They watch TV. I don't have one. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening very intently to everybody.
Yes. So that's all I have to say, my sister. But I respect and honor the work that you do. Because
thank you for that.
You have taught us so much. When I leave, when I go home at night, this is what I listen to you and Gary. And we have to be so thankful for the work that everything is in place. You have to put everything in place. We refuse to help financially and to promote it. The problem is us, not what they're doing. Because we already know what they're doing. What are we doing? That's the question.
That's the question.
We refuse.
That's
we
the
refuse
question.
To do anything.
What are we all
but
doing?
But I guess, no, you guys are doing exactly what the work that... the work you guys are doing, that it's just that the family is unwilling to do their part. That's all. And what?
Well, that is the eternal struggle. Everybody rising to the expectation that you have a contribution to make, and it's time that you get serious about making it, because the way things are going, we will have to make a decision one way or the other. We might as well participate in the decision to help us all, you know, prepare for what's coming down the pike. We'll have to leave it here for today because we're out of time. But again, I want to thank you so much for making such a strong effort to share of valuable information. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.